The fire may not out, but by the devil we return. Insanity or glory in a mind that never learns. A moment of something where the dark can reverse. Tell the lonely where to go. Kill the inside and let it burn. It's not the only way to go. Kill the inside and let it burn. The empty eyes are falling down the path of no return.
On the Endpoint site, Jeremy from Kentucky on your Tuesday night broadcast on Republic Broadcasting Network. Please go to republicbroadcasting.org. Smash that donate button. Send the much needed fundage. You can mail your check or money order payable to RBN. Mail it to 2251 Double Creek Drive, Suite 302, Brown Rock, Texas, 78664. Call that debit or credit card donation in to Mike tonight, and he will take your money. Keep free speech alive. And we have our Tuesday night co-host. You know the caliber of my co-host tonight.
I don't know how to put this, but I'm kind of a big deal.
What are you?
I'm Batman.
Standing well over 6'4", weighing well over 245 pounds, of political science analyzing brawn, ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Patrick Slattery. Patrick, how the hell are you, my guy?
Hey, my guy, I'm doing pretty well. Losing some weight, maybe you don't have to say well over anymore. It's all to muscle, though. All to muscle.
Are you down to wrestling weight?
Oh yeah, yeah. No, I've been at my walk around weight, but now I'm cutting weight. I'm getting ready for the big showdown.
Very good. We got a little showdown here in Texas. I don't know if you got to read that or not.
Oh yeah,
Texas GOP getting a backbone. We can't be having that. Some people would even start saying the GOP is maybe fighting for our interests down in Texas. I'm not saying that. Some people would.
Well, you sent me an article, and you know, I looked through it, and what's really interesting to me is the bit about a referendum on independence, and of course Texas has its own particular history where it was for, from what, 1836, it was, it declared itself an independent from Mexico, and then I guess it became a state, what, 1848, I believe, so it had about a dozen years, or was it 1845 it became a state? I can't remember if it was at the beginning of the Mexican War or the end of the Mexican War. At any rate, it had a decade or so as an independent country. And so when they talk about a referendum on independence, you know, at this point it seems like so improbable, unlikely that the United States actually will geographically break up. But things happen very quickly, and even if there's no breakup, what's really I think notable is that so many people, Not just fringe people, but so many people are giving up on the idea of the United States, that it has a future. And it's not just people on the right. You've got Democrats in Oregon or in Massachusetts who don't want to be part of a country with you and I. And so this giving up on the idea of America, you know, so you got people in some parts of the country who they've given up on the future of America, but they would like to salvage something of the past of America by independence. And then you've got these other people who have given up on the idea of America because it's too racist, and are looking for something a lot more diverse and gay.
Well, the schism, I think, was accentuated. I don't think it began, but it was accentuated when Trump came down the escalator and in the 2016 elections. I think the schism was very much brought to the forefront. And it's just morphed now with the COVID and the election hoaxes into something that's, I mean, organic, I would think. The article in which we're referencing from stormer-daily.rw from the Stormer, Texas Republicans declare Biden illegitimate, want a referendum on secession, and oppose homosexuality. I mean, it seems like just a real quick aside, the issues of homosexuality and abortion have really, put a divide in the American populace. I mean, would you say those are the top two issues?
Those are issues that people can wrap their heads around. Because, yeah. I don't mean to be disrespectful, but, you know, people have been really dumbed down, and they don't understand so much. They don't understand. But people do understand abortion, and they do understand gayness. And so they're being rammed down our throats. You know, certainly with the gay stuff, if they were taking a go slower approach, there just wouldn't be the resistance. They could, they didn't have to go straight from what is called Obergefell decision. Within like a week or two, going straight to this trannyism stuff, which they did. I mean, there was that case in North Carolina, which really kind of triggered everything. And now they're going full out on the trannyism in ways that just seem absurd. If they were taking a go slower approach, let people digest the gayness, they'd probably get away with it.
Well, and, you know, the homosexual agenda is not just, you know, Timmy has two dads. I mean, this is getting into child trannyism. And I think that's where you're getting the real backlash, as people see where the slippery slope is headed. Just referencing this Stormer article, there's a couple of tweets from people that I've certainly never heard of. Probably the audience haven't, but interesting comments nonetheless. Dan Dabrowski, Twitter. Wow. The Texas GOP just banned gay Republicans from their convention in the middle of Pride Month. The log cabin Republicans were shut out by members of their own party. I encourage the log cabin Republicans to switch their party affiliation. The Democrats don't discriminate. Log cabin Republicans, that's a reference to Honest Abe, I do believe.
Well, we had a number of presidents who had been born in log cabins. I can't remember, the last one might have been James Garfield, but there were a number of them, and maybe even past Garfield. But so you had, I guess Grant was born in, and maybe Hayes and Lincoln. So you had. But the log cabin, I don't know. It seems like a place you could go in Vermont, a bed and breakfast, a cute little bed and breakfast, and do your gay stuff. I don't know. I don't know why they call it that. It's really kind of, I don't even think I want to know why they call it that.
Well, I guess in the mid to late 1800s, it's become a meme. I mean, probably historically it didn't break down like this, but it's become a meme that, you know, Abraham Lincoln, you know, freed the slaves and progressiveness and all of that. I don't think that's really a thing historically, but it's become a meme. I think that's what they're talking about by log cabin Republicans who are progressive, I think is what the meme is. I mean, I don't know. What do you think of that breakdown?
I No. I mean, it's a marketing type of thing. So, yeah, log cabin. What does it mean? The log cabin maple syrup, right? There's log cabin maple syrup. I don't know. I really don't know.
In actuality, I mean, Abe Lincoln was for the repatriation of blacks to Africa. Possibly why he got assassinated. I don't want to get into the weeds of that. But, you know, in current day, that I think that meme that this Twitter person was talking about, this Dash Dabrowski, highlighted in the Stormer article, is talking about Republicans who are more progressive and how they're breaking away from the racist, you know, current GOP in Texas. Another one from Real Robert on Twitter: Texas Republicans voted and officially declared Biden illegitimate at an annual GOP convention. We reject the certified results of the 2020 presidential election, and we hold that acting President Joseph Robinette Biden Jr.
Robinette
was not legitimately elected by the people of the U.S. And it goes through some more Twitter.
And they refer to him as acting president, right?
Yeah.
Not President Joseph Robinette Biden, but acting president.
Apparently, there was a convention in Texas where all of this took place. They cite the New York Post in the article. So to get the mainstream take, I'll just read a paragraph or two. Republicans in Texas, this according to the New York Post, Republicans in Texas formally rejected President Joe Biden's election in 2020 as illegitimate and voted in a statewide convention that wrapped up this weekend on a party platform that calls homosexuality an abnormal lifestyle choice, quote-unquote. The party's embrace of unfounded electoral fraud allegations in a bedrock Republican state came as a bipartisan congressional committee seeks to definitively and publicly debunk the false idea that Biden did not win the election. So they're referring to, I guess, the congressional hearing, which is totally unconstitutional. Congress does not have the authority to form such a committee or to do any type of executive action. They're just supposed to make laws. Am I wrong?
Well, I mean, Congress can investigate things. Congress can oversee agencies, but there probably is some constitutional overreach with this committee. I'm not an expert enough in this area, but if Congress is using the FBI to arrest people who aren't who refuse to show up and testify, that may well be overreach.
Yeah, I don't think they have the actual authority to like subpoena people and have them arrested if they don't show up. That's way overreach. Here's some interesting numbers here, according to the New York Post. A recent poll in Reuters, about two-thirds of Republicans believe the 2020 presidential election was stolen from Trump. Two-thirds of Republicans, that's a good number. I can see that. State and federal judges dismissed more than 50 lawsuits brought by Trump and his allies challenging the election, while reviews and audits found no evidence of widespread fraud, whatever. One of the proposed principles in the latest Texas Republican Party platform also includes new language criticizing homosexuality and voicing opposition to, quote, all efforts to validate transgender identity, unquote. Homosexuality is an abnormal lifestyle, it reads, a statement that is not in the 2020 platform. So I guess you got these Republicans in Texas that are pushing back on the trannyism, probably because they're targeting kids. And they're just going all out and saying that Biden's not legit. Now, there's probably a lot of hyperbole in the New York Times, the New York Post article here. Not New York Times, New York Post, but a lot of hyperbole there. But, I mean, I think we're starting to see definite, maybe secession, politically at least, coming from Texas. Probably more in other states as well. That's just not being reported on. This is the secession that we were talking about last year and shortly after the whole election hoax.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if actual secession is really going to be followed up on, but the fact that it's being talked about openly, and even a year or two ago, there was from the Texas Republican Party. I don't know if it was at a convention, if it was at an executive meeting, or if it was at more at the county level or something. There was already some talk about this type of thing, secession, and now they're calling for a referendum. I wonder how a referendum would go. That would be very interesting. And then if you really get down to, excuse me?
I don't think they want a referendum, but yeah.
If you really get down into the weeds about how secession would work out, there are some massive complications. I think the Social Security Trust Fund, I think like so many people in America are on Social Security, and that's coming from the federal government. And now, of course, if the dollar just becomes destroyed, then everybody is starting from zero anyway. And so it would be less of an obstacle. But right now, if say Texas or other states wanted to secede, what about the Social Security Trust Fund? Who's going to pay the Social Security to these people? Is there going to be an amicable divorce where it gets divvied up? One thing about the Soviet Union, when it broke up, the Soviet Union, not anticipating any kind of breakup like this, the central government of the Soviet Union was using these republics as vehicles to collect taxes. It was saying, okay, collect the taxes and send it to us. And they were doing it because, you know, there wasn't, the Soviet central government was very, very strong. There was nobody was worried about secession. And then when it came time, when all of a sudden republics, including the Russian Republic, which takes up 75% of the area and 55% of the population, when they start saying they wanted to do independence, they were already collecting the taxes. They were already, so it, in a way, it was easier for them. It might be harder for us that way, but it's nevertheless, it's really, really significant that people are talking about this, even if maybe it's unrealistic. And like I've said before, these things also can happen very, very quickly. And what seems impossible or implausible, unlikely, highly unlikely today, a year from now, it could seem inevitable.
Things are moving swiftly. Two things I want to point out. One, in this article from the Stormer, it seems like the GOP in Texas is throwing Abbott under the bus because maybe he's done some good things, but they're really talking about how he's against free speech and, you know, against the BDS movement for Palestine. And then two, for states to really secede, if it really did happen, you know, the states would have to have their own economy. They would have to have their own means of production. And we're a long ways from that. Not saying it couldn't happen, but we are a long ways from it. And, you know, as you mentioned, you'd have to have some sort of replacement for the federal funding that goes on. Up on the break, just seconds from it, and we'll cover some more of this on the other side, on In Plain Sight with the Dynamic Duo.
Summer's gone, winter's in your eyes. I can feel the thunderstorms inside.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, no child left behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing. Knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Awake every morning and the cold winds cover me.
So,
all I've got's a ghost of what.
Coming back to In Plain Sight, the dynamic duo talking about secession, Texas GOP. Before we get into the guts of the Stormer article and dealing with more tweets that pretty much are, talking about what we're discussing here, you wanted to revisit Log Cabin Republicans, Patrick.
Well, I just really quickly, the thing about the Republican Party, the Democratic Party, the parties in our country, as organizations, they're pretty loose, and then also they morph over time, and so what they stand for now and what they've stood for historically are completely different. And because my brain's working a bit slow right now, when you were talking about the log cabin is a branding issue and it's more progressive and this and that, it's like, well, actually, during the log cabin era, the era where you had the leaders of the Republican Party had been born in log cabins, in Ohio and Indiana, Benjamin Harrison, this type of person, maybe he was the last to be born in a log cabin. The Republicans in general were what we would consider today more progressive than the Democrats. And of course, they had this radical wing, the radical Republicans, who were dominant for a few years shortly after the Civil War. And they were the ones pushing for, full voting rights for blacks and full citizenship and this and that. And of course, the Democratic Party, and this is something that the, Dems is the real racist Republicans today like to cite, but, the Democrats, they were, they were the party of the South, of the Confederacy, to a large extent. They were the party of the Ku Klux Klan. Not that there wasn't Ku Klux Klan in the Republicans as well, but they were. And things have changed a lot. If you went back 100 years or 110, 120 years, even if you're talking about business and, you know, pro-business or pro-worker, the Republican Party and the Democratic Party, they just wouldn't be identifiable to people, to us today. And of course, I've often pointed out that really the Democratic Party is not identifiable to somebody who had been a Democrat, say before Clinton, even in the 80s, early 90s. You know, now it's the party of big business. It's the party of Google and you know, massive corporations, and it's the party of war. Every single Democrat in Congress voted in favor of this massive war funding. So the parties morph. And the last thing I'm going to say is that this is why it's such a cop-out when people like Tucker or others say that mass immigration is to import Democratic voters to give them permanent power. Because the Democrats, over time, what is a Democrat means nothing. It means nothing because it's constantly morphing. It's to give Jews permanent power. It is to prevent any kind of white Christian majority from ever being able to take back power by diluting them. That's what it's all about. And maybe there are Democrats who see this as helping them in the near term or whatever, but this is fundamentally, it's a Jewish thing. But people who are incapable of talking about Jewish power and always have to find other groups, other entities to blame things on, because immigration becomes Democrats rather than a Jewish priority. That's what I had.
Interesting. That's why you see the shift in 2016 of traditional Democrats who were Christians, who were for workers' rights and who were against mass immigration, you know, gravitate toward Trump. Trump, who is a 1980s Democrat. Mm-hmm. If I could just define him from a 30,000 foot view, even though he is wealthy and maybe an oligarch, you could call him that, I guess. He did run on a platform of representing the working man, and being against these wars and for immigration control and fair trade. He, you know, tapped into that 1980s Democrat mindset. And that's why he won the populace. But yeah, so like you said, these parties have morphed, and you know, the current state of the Democrat Party is really almost indistinguishable from the Republicans. It's just that the Republicans are for less trannies, and for trannies, you know, teaching people below fourth grade rather than above in school. And, you know, therefore, you know, immigrants, as long as they're legal, and maybe not even that. So the Overton window has dramatically shifted in the political paradigm that we see today, as you very aptly pointed out.
Yeah. And, you know, on certain, like on these social issues, it's been shifting towards the trannyism, towards the gayness, towards a bunch of things like that. And then on business, like on economics and war and peace, on war, it's been shifting the other towards more war, which was more of a Republican position. I hear the music.
Yeah, back on the other side of the break.
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth.
Hi, Tom Bolton for Ease Off. I know so many of you are finding our EZ4 carcass drop and lift an essential tool for your meat processing operation. But today I want to spotlight four of our new products. First, our right height hog cradles with steel or aluminum frames. Our customers love this back-saving innovation that enhances sanitation and speeds production. Next, our beef cradles with stainless steel or aluminum frames eliminate rust and corrosion. We hope you'll compare our quality and prices for this essential part of your processing line. Our cradles are especially effective when used with our power skinner. And finally, our hook tumbler will keep your hooks clean and polished. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
EaseOff, LLC. 417-932-6419.
Extendivite testimonials on Amazon are very informative. Here's just a few. Amazon customer, 5 stars. Honestly, this stuff works. Nick, easy to take capsules. For those who can't handle the liquid drops, easy to take Extendivite capsules do the same job. Karoka Fam, works great. Like Extendivite very much. Seems to work as advertised. Thanks. Arlene, 5 stars. Love this product, Extendivite. Terry W, 5 stars. Can't say enough. Great product. Freya, 5 stars. I just ordered another. To get your Extendivite today, go to extendivite.com. That's extendivite.com. Or call us at 1-877-928-8822.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. Well, we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country. Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store. Or call us.
800-724-2719, extension 3. 800-724-2719, extension 3.
In plain sight, delving a little deeper into the Stormer article, they're featuring some tweets here. One from Joe at Dempsey2, obviously a very liberal progressive. He's replying to Joe. He's replying. This is Joe replying to at Dempsey2. They, meaning the Texas GOP, want to ensure hate speech continues on the internet. They oppose net neutrality. They want to force women to give birth against their will, but also amend the Texas Constitution to ensure they don't have to pay for it. And he cites some talking points from the GOP convention here, amending the Texas Constitution and state statute with a stricter spending limitation based on U.S. Census population growth plus inflation, apply the new limit to Texas total government budget. He mentions a couple of other things here, and I totally lost the page. I'm going to hit back. Here we go. Joe on Twitter also says, I implore you to read the education section in its entirety. They have been gaslighting us to think that they oppose indoctrination of children, but this is exactly what they're requiring their elected officials to do. They desire to abolish the Department of Education. And so I guess he's referring to what he perceives as hypocrisy and saying you can't indoctrinate our children with trannyism. But yet the Texas GOP wants to abolish the Department of Education, which I would be wholeheartedly for.
education is up to the parents and local school boards, in my opinion. And I think that's constitutional. Do you have some remarks on these particular tweets? And then we'll go to calls.
The main thing was this guy, Joe, he is wearing a baseball hat and a giant mask over his nose and mouth. And all you see are these two eyes, I guess they're kind of greenish eyes, looking at you like, you dumbass, I told you so. It's just the most bizarre thing that somebody would want to represent themselves with a picture like that. And then he's got his positions. It's interesting the way the language people use to describe things. They implore you to read the education section in its entirety. They have been gaslighting us into thinking they oppose the indoctrination of children, I guess because they oppose critical race theory or something. But this is exactly what they're requiring their elected officials to do. I've heard Noam Chomsky talk about this, like for the leftists or the Chomskyites or whatever, not teaching critical race theory is banning books, and it's protecting white children from hearing anything that would make them uncomfortable. That's the way they describe it. It's very interesting. We've got in this country, we've gotten to the point where we've got different people looking at the exact same thing and describing it in completely different ways. And, you know, you do wonder, is there even really the possibility of some sort of reconciliation?
Also, he talks about privatizing Social Security in the GOP Texas platform. They oppose diversity, equity, and inclusion. Recognize that these are culture war issues. And then he cites a note here on the Texas GOP platform, Social Security privatization in the system. Probably something to get away from the federal level that you and I were talking about. You know, what's the answer to, if states like Texas secede, will they be able to fund Social Security? And so they're talking about doing it on a state level. Is what I'm taking from that.
Well, no, the privatization of Social Security is to allow people to take the money that they would put into Social Security and have it invested in stocks or bonds or whatever they choose. And, you know, we already have IRA, which allows you to do that. A lot of New York financial companies have been pushing this privatization of Social Security because then that money is going to be going into their mutual funds and ETFs and other things. And so they've been eyeing that. I think it's a horrible idea because you're going to wind up, if you have privatization of Social Security, some people will do well with it, depending on the markets. But a lot of people are just going to they're just going to be destitute because they're going to make bad decisions, because most people in the United States don't have the wherewithal to know how to invest for themselves. So,
well, thank you for educating me on that issue. Yeah, that so privatization of Social Security going into the markets, which are rapidly crashing and crumbling because of the sanctions on Russia.
There are problems with Social Security. One of the things is it's used to a large extent for economic redistribution, and people who work very little throughout their lives get a lot bigger bang for those Social Security bucks that they put in than the people who work hard and have put in more. They get a much smaller percentage back. So there are. I'm not saying that the Social Security system shouldn't be looked at or reformed in certain ways, but the idea of privatizing it, the idea that the answer is just to let people decide what to do with the funds that they put in, I think that's a recipe for disaster for a whole bunch of people.
Yeah, pull yourselves up from your own bootstraps type thing, the whole boomer meme.
Yeah. Well, this just, I mean, this just, you know, openly shows the problems with not only the Democrats, but the GOP, you know, in this farce of a political system.
Yeah.
So let's go into callers, shall we? We got a bunch of callers.
Let's do it.
Rapid caller section. Earl in Texas up first. Earl, welcome to the show.
Thank you for taking my call, gentlemen. I'm with Freedom Texas. We are one of the movements down here in Texas looking for our independence. I'm going to talk a little bit on the Social Security, but first of all, it has been these two political gangs for the last 100-plus years who have brought us to our current situation. They have continuously violated the laws of the land, and therefore we find ourselves in a bad situation. Now, going on to the Social Security reform down here in Texas, first of all, the first thing that has to be reformed is our monetary. We will not allow a private banking cartel to operate like the United States government has allowed. Now, the Republic of Texas, we are going to, and we have in-depth talks on all of these subjects. We will assure all Texans who have made contributions to this scam, this Ponzi scheme, that they will receive the benefits. And, well, how is that going to take place? Well, of course, it has to go through a constitutional study. But with the nation of Texas no longer being a part of the United States, all that billions of dollars that we send every year will remain here in Texas, and we could generate enough funds there to go ahead and give to the folks who are on Social Security. Now, there's a lot more I could say on all that, but Dr. Slattery, I do disagree with you on, and respectfully, sir, the privatizing the Social Security. It will be under close scrutiny of the Republic of Texas government, and we'll have insurance companies or banks or some sort of investment machine that the people could volunteer themselves into. And if they do not care to participate, well, it will be encouraged for them to do so, but it will eventually have to slide by, in my opinion. Now, we differ at these meetings, but I believe that each and every individual has an opportunity to be self-governed, and that's one area that could be. So we can remove ourselves from it. We don't need these GOPs because, as I mentioned, they are the ones, along with the other ones, that have brought us to our current situation. And pretty much that's it in a nutshell.
Yeah, go ahead, Patrick, and respond to that Social Security issue.
Well, you know, there's more than one way to skin a cat. B, the devil's in the detail, and, you know, there's a whole bunch of other cliches that one can use. You know, whatever plan that this gentleman and his colleagues have, you know, there are ways you can go about doing something that are better than other ways. I just say good luck with his endeavors. I've gotten to the point at this point where the idea of the United States breaking up into different elements. Whether we break up, whether we don't break up, I would like to avoid civil war. I'd like to avoid, you know, a lot of calamity and things. And it's hard to know. But
well, sir, I don't think it'd be as. I'm sorry. I apologize for cutting in.
No, I'm done.
Okay, I don't think there will be a civil war for the very simple reason that the world has become so small in communication. And there'll be a lot of saber rattling for sure from the United States government, but there's too many eyes around the world watching. and I there would not be any civil war. I'm pretty well confident of that. And my last comment would be, y'all can look up the Galveston Social Security plan, where Galveston, Texas broke away, I think back in the 80s, from the Social Security, and they created their own in Galveston County, and it went like a charm. And then the federal government came in and won't allow any other state or whatever town to copy what Galveston had done. So you could look that up. And I do appreciate you taking my phone call.
Okay. Well, it's good talking to you.
Yes, sir.
Thanks a lot, my friend. Let's move on to Mike in Kentucky, and we have several other callers. Mike, welcome to the show.
Yeah, okay. I wasn't going to talk about this specifically, but Kentucky retirement system for teachers is a separate system, and they agree not to draw any Social Security, so they rely totally on the Kentucky retirement system for teachers. But as you may have seen in the news in the last couple of years, they investors into the state retirement system were making more than the retirement system was, as they kept shuffling stuff around and were making returns from, I guess, trade commissions and stuff. They actually made more money than the retirement systems did for Kentucky. But anyway, that wasn't what I called about. I wanted to read something real quick, if I can read it, at least in part. And it kind of references back to Kelso's show a little bit, but also what you guys brought up. The term manipulation/influence operations refers to covert attempts by blank, and you can fill in the blanks here, to sway U.S. public opinion in its favor. In this, fill in the blank, blank, has dubious company, according to the NSA. Other leading threats were listed as China, Russia, Cuba, Iran, Pakistan, North Korea, France, Venezuela, and South Korea. In a section of this document headed Foreign Intelligence, Counterintelligence, Denial, and Deception Activities, Countering Foreign Intelligence Threats, it's a long title, blank was listed as the leading perpetrator of espionage/intelligence collection operations and manipulation influence operations against the U.S. government, military, science, and technology, and intelligence community organs. Anybody want to guess who Democrats would say that is? Of course, they would probably say it's the Russians.
Russians, yeah. Anybody that's favorable to Russians, i.e. Trump voters.
Who is filling the blank, though? There's more to the document. Oh, well, I don't read the whole thing.
Well, I mean, just because there's a glaring absence of the word Israel, and we're talking about you're talking about intelligence, it's massive, yeah. And you do have people in the Democratic Party. Not most of them, but you have people in the...
It goes back to 2007. That's from a Snowden leak.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, there are people in the Democratic Party who are willing to call out Israel.
Some. Blank was identified by the NSA as a security threat in several areas, including the threat of development of weapons of mass destruction and delivery methods, particularly ballistic and or nuclear-capable cruise missiles. The NSA also flagged Blank, which would be Israel, as, quote, weapon of mass destruction and missile proliferation activities and cruise missiles as threat. This is 2007. What's changed, do you think, in the last 15 years?
Just real quick, I wasn't wrong. I wasn't wrong. Trump supporters do favor Israel. So you can lump those two in the same category.
Of course, Kelso constantly harps on anybody who brings this sort of stuff out. He says, this is stupid. We need to foment, basically he's saying, we need to foment ignorance of the political electorate. We need to foment ignorance. You know, are we not supposed to have an educated electorate or an ignorant electorate? I mean, even if 75% of the country supports Israel, that doesn't mean it's smart. And how many nukes would it take to hold the United States hostage? Anybody? I don't think it would take very many. And from
they don't even need that. Israel has held the United States hostage for 50 years.
Well, just one or two strategically placed to cause a tsunami, you know, could take out most of the Anglo-American Empire in the afternoon. You wouldn't have a few hours warning if you did it in the middle of the night. you know, caused a massive landslide in the Azores or off the coast of Africa. You know, there's a natural phenomenon that could occur, and geologists claim that they've got evidence that you know, there's been massive tsunamis in the past that go all the way to the fall line hills in the Carolinas would probably completely inundate Florida and Georgia halfway to freaking Atlanta. So,
well, I mean,
nuclear power plants would that take out, and that would kill the Atlantic Ocean and most of the Northern Hemisphere, except maybe for Israel. Who comes to kill, steal, and destroy? That, you know, are these actually Satanists that are masquerading, prancing around as Israeli? And they call themselves Israeli. They don't say they're Israelites. So for biblical evangelicals, they need to read their whole Bible. Who is, in the last days, who are those that claim to be Jews but are not? And what is the strong delusion? If you don't know, are you under the delusion? I'll let you go.
Well, yeah, it seems like the gist of your point is the threat to the United States is actually the secular state of Israel and not Russia or even China.
Nope. But there's a lot of Russian-Israeli connections in Tel Aviv in the technology sector known as the Talpiot program that has infiltrated everything. They got their fingers into everything. And William Binney points out that they were getting the software for these Nara sessionizers in the mid to late 90s being given to them by a pro-Israeli in his unit at the NSA. They turned around, repackages it, sells it to Boeing, sold it to Verizon, and you think they didn't have back doors into that to get all the data to blackmail and do insider trading for 25 years at least? Of course they did.
Well, sure, but I would just point out that the current Ukrainian-Russian incident has, you know, exposed a break in Russian-Israeli connections and influence.
Well, I'm talking ethnic Russians, not Russia itself, because they're Orthodox, and I don't think they're completely controlled by Israel. That's one reason why they're being so demonized. If you ain't getting flack, you ain't over the target. So Putin and his cabal are partially being targeted because they're not under the thumb of the Israeli financial system. They've dodged the bullet.
Well, you're saying Israeli, but it's not really just Israeli. It's Jewish.
Well, I mean,
you know, it gets convenient to talk about Israel sometimes or Zionism, but you know, there is massive Jewish power in the United States, and and sometimes
they're not all. Some of them are Hasidic, some of them are, you know, they're different sects. Yeah. There's warring factions of Jews.
Yeah, I mean they tend to be united on wanting to do what's best for the Jews, but often are divided on what it is that is best for the Jews.
Well, there's,
you know,
anti-Zionist Jews. There's Hasidic anti-Zionist Jews.
There are some of those. They're not that significant. No. But, you know, you look at the Victoria Nuland crowd, their top priority is overthrowing Vladimir Putin, whereas the Likud crowd, you know, Benjamin Netanyahu and a lot of Israelis are more focused on Iran. And
Benjamin Netanyahu's been pictured with Putin and laughing and joking like they're good buddies. So,
well,
it's hard to know what's for PR, public relations. I better let you get to some other callers. You guys are running out of time. Yeah.
You can see any major political head of state meeting with other major heads of state. You had that picture of Obama with Gaddafi, and then within a couple of years, Obama had Gaddafi murdered. So you never know what's
until
behind
they kill
this
each
picture.
Other.
Yeah.
I'll talk to you later. Bye.
All right. Bye.
All right. Let's go on to the next caller. We got Paul in California. In the last part of the show, maybe the last caller. Paul, what do you got for us?
Well, you know, there's a couple different directions some of these other callers took. I like the last caller and somebody said. But going back to where we started at the beginning of the show with Texas and the Republican Party, and, you know, it makes me wonder sometimes. This is the thought I had for most of the show. I wonder sometimes if the Jews, you know, haven't won, aren't winning so thoroughly and so in such a large way that we are blind to it. And so we fall for the the issues which they throw out. I mean, when you think about what they've been able to do, it's really quite, compelling. They built this impregnable fortress, right? Control of the money, control of the media, now control of these social media platforms, right? Control of medicine. Essentially, it's only been consolidated. And there was a time in this country where we would have never had Jews openly holding office, openly heading up these corporations, openly heading up all sorts of various government departments and, health agencies and so forth. And, this thing has become so consolidated. And so they toss over the castle wall, transgenderism and, drag queen story time hour for kids and all this other nonsense. I kind of think in terms, and again, I realize we don't have a lot of time. This is really at least a good 2 to 3 hour show, roundtable type discussion with all the stuff that's been brought up. But I think, what's the way forward? What should we keep in our minds? And the idea that a state like Texas could or would secede, isn't it? It's exactly what they want, right? Isn't what they're all about is to break up, okay, to unravel, to invert, to destroy. I mean, they've made clear what they want to do to this country. They basically spent 20 to 30 years giving away our entire manufacturing base. These other countries, such as China, didn't even have to pay for it. Okay, we went there and we built factories, so that they could manufacture everything that we used to make here. And now we're importing millions upon millions upon millions of, in many cases, low IQ non-whites, but certainly non-whites. And so you have to ask yourself the question, okay, if Texas succeeds, are they going to stand up for white interest, right? Are they going to secure Texas from the racial disintegration that's occurring? I don't see that happening at all. And it's not something that we would want. The bottom line is, I don't care whether they're Hasidic Jews or, Talmudic Jews or any of this other nonsense, or even if they're non-Jews, okay? We have an enemy that has mostly, been revealed. There's plenty of enemies we don't know about that in terms of their identity. But for the most part, these people can be identified. And if they can be identified, then likely they can be located. And if they can be located, then, we can bake them a birthday cake. But to think about a way forward to get where we want to go, right? It's just, to me, it's very frustrating hearing the sorts of issues that are talked about. I know you have a political show. Anyway, I hear the music. Thanks for the audience. And again, this show should really continue.
Thank you, Paul. It's all about the backlash. And I think that's what we're seeing is some backlash. And where will it go from there? Patrick, thanks for joining me. We'll continue on National Bugle tomorrow at 1 p.m. on RBN.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Blackout Coffee, and I started Blackout because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.